We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Okay, same old story from Soldier Field. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you. Episode 131 of the Hogan Johns podcast. Another Bears game. Another close loss. Bears now 3-7 on the year. And as I've kind of alluded to the last couple weeks, while we thought they would come out of the bye week potentially 5-5 after these two games, its season seems to be going in the opposite direction here.
I literally wrote a story giving five reasons why the Bears could be 5-5 at this point.
How many of those reasons worked?
No. They've been in these games. What else is new in the John Fox era? They've been in every game, except for the turnover ones. But what else is there really to say about close games like this? This is just what the Bears are. They're close, but they're never, at least in my opinion, with John Fox as coach, going to be good enough to win them.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game. And by the way, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. All of our post-game thoughts, plenty of in-game thoughts on Twitter. Post-game columns up, WGNradio.com/Bears is where you can read mine. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read Johnsy's. And I think we both kind of attacked different areas of these coaching problems, but both pretty much all, as Fox would say, all of it's a problem. And our voicemail number, 312-222-5050, still time to chime in there. We'll bring those voicemails to you during the week. What was interesting to me about this game was all this talk all week long offensively about the problems and why Tariq Cohen's not on the field and how he's not part of the offense. We broke it all down on the podcast the other day. We went through word by word the excuses and the reasons that really just did not add up. I thought Fox and Loggins had a bad week in trying to explain it all. And then they came out here and they played him a ton. They played Tariq a ton. They essentially had the whole game plan around him. And it was working. There's a lot of actually positive things on offense today. And then the thing I focused on is last drive of the game, he's not on the field. Jordan Howard's not on the field. Adam Shaheen, who is really starting to develop, it seems like, not on the field. And to me, it's inexplicable.
It's indefensible. Too, I get that they're rookies and they're learning certain roles and certain expectations, certain techniques in terms of like Cohen being a better blocker and pass protection. I get all that. It's week 12. This isn't week 1. It's week 12. You think they would be at least partially capable of handling things like that? And whatever happened to putting your players in the best position to succeed, maybe don't use Tariq Cohen as a blocker. Maybe use a tight end in certain situations there. It's all mind-numbingly frustrating. It is inexplicable. It is indefensible. Your best players need to be on the field in times like this, and they weren't against the Lions today.
So we'll bring in John Fox's comments here in a little bit, but the one thing he said about this specifically, because I asked him, was that not all these players know all the plays for these situations. I thought that was a weird thing to say, except for Tariq Cohen. I mean, basically confirmed all that. Tariq Cohen, as he talked to the media in his locker, said that he doesn't know the two-minute package. But here's the thing. The Bears keep telling us how, you know, great, how intellectually sound this kid is and how quickly he picks things up. And I don't think that's wrong. I think that that's been proven this season. He's done a lot. I don't think this is a Devin Hester situation where he's struggling to pick up the playbook. To me, that is John Fox and Dow Loggins saying, okay, don't worry about the two-minute package. They're not teaching it to him. So I don't think that people should read that as like Cohen can't pick up the playbook. I think it's the coaching staff is refusing to teach it to him. And once again, it's the same question we asked throughout the week. If he's your best player or your best playmaker, How's he not on the field for the most crucial plays of the game?
It's week 12, so don't use him as a blocker. Put him in the slot. Put your best playmakers on the field. It's not hard. It's actually quite simple. Yeah. Even Adam Shaheen. He's the second-round pick. He's starting to flourish, finally. Getting some confidence. He looked good as a blocker today in some instances. Get him out in the field. Let him make a play. Why is he incapable of running a route? In that situation, I don't get it. And look, it's week 12. They should be at least introduced partially to the two-minute package.
I want you guys to hear exactly how Cohen put it, because he did a pretty good job of explaining it all. It doesn't really explain the decision-making, but it explains what he does and does not know. So here's Tariq Cohen at his locker after the game.
It's a play we've been working on for a while now to get me in space, with a one-on-two matchup, a one-on-one. I felt like somebody fell down from the defense, and then I seen there was a one-on-one. The receiver had ran the DB off. So, I just knew I had to either get to the pylon, or if he was going to meet me there first, I had to stop his feet. So I had to give him a hesitation move, and then I just had to go over the top, to try to stretch and get in the end zone.
How did you feel on that jump?
I feel like I had a 44-inch vert.
Were you going to do everything but reach for the pylon on that play?
I know. I tried to, reach and then bring the ball back in, to secure it, make sure everything is good.
It looked like you kind of switched the ball in your hands when you're upside down in the air. Do you have that much air awareness?
I don't know what I was doing in the air, It's just when you jump this high, it's just so many things you can do in the air.
How excited were you to know that you were going to get a little more involvement in the offense?
It's always exciting because this is the game we love to play. So when you're going to be on the field more, and more opportunities to get in the end zone and make big plays, you're always going to be excited.
What did you think of your involvement today? How do you feel like they used you?
I feel like I was using a lot of ways, as a decoy sometimes. Sometimes I was, the guy getting the ball, and I feel like, that's what I need to do to, be a major key in this offense. So I was very happy.
Was it frustrating not to be out there for the two-minute drop?
It's just more so about, me learning more things in the offense so that, in a hurry-up situation, I could be at a slot or I can go to the, the X receiver or the Z receiver or just be in the backfield.
What don't you know there in that situation?
Probably just, the hurry-up plays, at those positions, I know there's certain plays at those positions, but, just to open up the whole playbook with me, I would have learned all of those plays.
Seems like the O-line gave you guys plenty of opportunities opening up some gaps for you early on.
We feel like they do that every game. We feel like they're one of the best O-lines in the NFL. Those guys, we feel like every game we play, we're going to have a good rushing day, especially with, Jordan being the dominant back he is and then me coming in, change the pace. We feel like we're always going to have a good day.
Tariq, there's such a fine line in this league, winning and losing. How frustrating has it been not to get the wins in situations like today?
It's always frustrating losing, and it adds to that when, you're right on the fringe of being a successful team more times than not. A couple games we've lost have been come right down to the wire, and we know that if we do certain things, right, then the game comes out totally different.
What was your view of Mitch's 13-yard conversion of that 4th-and-13?
That's his mentality. Y'all got to see his mentality. That situation 4th-and-13, he's not going down, not taking a sack. Not throwing the ball away. He's going to find a way to make a play. And he's just going to lead us to where we need to be.
Did you think he had a chance? It looked like he had no chance, and somehow he made it.
I thought he was going to run everybody over every time.
Did you give him some tips to run like that?
Oh no, he got that from himself. I don't know where he got that from.
What are some of these things you guys got to do? You mentioned to win these close games. So many times you guys are right there, but just can't close it out.
It's little things, far as sometimes some things is me, I would say in the punt return, I let one bounce to the 3-yard line, 2-yard line. I could have saved some field position, help us out more on the offensive side. Some penalties, penalties is something that always holds us back. Those are drive stoppers, and then we have to get back on track. So things like that, we can do better at.
So what can you do to make coaches feel comfortable having you in the 2-minute drill?
Just studying harder, getting the playbook, learning more positions. When I say more positions, I mean more plays at different positions.
Is this something where you're putting extra time crunching, trying to get that down so you can be in there?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because my goal is to be out there, every play to try to do the best for my team. So I will be, grinding harder.
You only ran for over 200 yards as a team. When you guys needed a tying touchdown, you ran down the field. How much did that say about your running game that you could get that late TD there?
It says a lot. It really tells who our personality is. We're a hard-nosed football team. We like to run the ball and play defense, and that's what we're going to do.
Activity was working early on. It didn't work as well in the second half. What changed that kind of slowed you guys down a little bit?
I feel like, you know, NFL coming out halftime, teams are going to game plan, you know, change up the game plan a little bit. And then I feel like we really got away from what we do a little bit coming out in the second half, you know. I think we got away from giving Jordan the ball. You know, it's just little things that we were doing successfully that we didn't do as much, you know, in the third quarter.
So you heard Tariq there talking about how he doesn't know all the plays at all of the positions. So, I mean, that's part of what the struggle is here that Fox keeps talking about, in that they're putting a lot on his plate. And he's technically learning, you know, a couple different receiver positions and running back at the same time, plus the return duties. I get all that. He is doing a lot. But, Adam, you and I saw him in training camp in the two-minute drill every single day. It's not like they haven't practiced this. Now, maybe he didn't practice it this week. Maybe he hasn't been in the two-minute drill all season. To me, though, that's a coaching thing. Same thing with Adam Shaheen. Like, Zach Miller gets hurt, and they make the decision to put Daniel Brown, in the two-minute drill instead of Adam Shaheen. I go back to training camp. This kid was making unbelievable plays in the two-minute drill, in OTAs, in the red zone. I mean, Adam Shaheen looked like a monster at times. So I don't know why they're protecting all these rookies so much. You just got to let them play. You got to put your best players on the field. It just doesn't make sense to me. And, I mean, we can still be talking about that with Mitch Trubisky, too. I think this is what you kind of attacked. They're still kind of holding him back.
Let them get their lumps in. Let them learn through their mistakes. Let them get film of themselves to see where they could pinpoint and, you know, for areas of improvement. It is kind of baffling in a way. I mean, they have all this time to install all these trick plays, you know. Tariq Cohen's throwing a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
They don't have some extra time to give Tariq Cohen some responsibility to the two-minute drill. I'm not talking about the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I know the lineup changes are kind of rare. You know, you don't want guys running in and out, but at least get him out there for a play or two. He's one of your best playmakers.
Well, and how about, like, okay, so he might not know all the plays, but you saw this whole game that his presence on the field made a difference. Just put him out there. Have him run like a 5-yard out. I don't know. But you got to have him on the field because he was getting extra attention the entire game. Which, by the way, Fox and Loggins told us all week is some reason for him not to be on the field. It just does not add up. And then I know what a lot of people are going to say. Look, they still got down to the 28-yard line. They had a 46-yard field goal to go to overtime, and Connor Barth missed it. We'll talk about that in a second. That doesn't mean that it was a seamless drive, and the results don't always defend the logic behind what you're doing, okay? Players can overcome bad coaching. I think you can argue, and I wrote this, I think you can argue that Mitch Trubisky's been doing that for 6 games now, quite frankly. So just because the Bears got down there and it still took an amazing scramble for 19 yards on 4th and 13, which tells you that the drive really wasn't going all that well, it does not excuse the personnel, in my opinion. Let's hear from Mitch Trubisky, who, amazingly now in 6 games, has had the ball in his hands in the final minutes of the game, on the final drive, 4 times now. The Bears have lost all 4 games. I don't know how much of it is his fault. He did throw 2 interceptions, one against the Vikings, one against the Saints. But I think there's a lot more that goes into this. I don't think you blame Trubisky for all of these drives not resulting in points in the final 2 minutes of games. But it is good experience for him. I just think at some point you want him winning, too. You got to learn how to win. And it just seems like delicate time. So here's Mitch Trubisky after the game.
Mitch, what did you see on the 4th down scramble to keep that final drive alive?
I was just going through my progressions, and then it felt like I had to scramble. I started moving, looking for receivers downfield. And didn't seem like the game was open, so I had to move because we had to get a first down in that situation. And then I just kind of was moving around, saw a seam, and figured I could pick up the first down. So it was the only – I had enough space in front of me to where I could run instead of throw. So I just had to get the first down in that situation, and glad it worked out. But gave ourselves a chance and came up short. It happens.
Been in a whole series of close games here, and there's 6 starts here. What's your sense on what it's going to take to get over the hump more consistently?
Just everyone giving a little bit more. If we just continue to buy in, just do little things, execution, and just keep rolling, I think we'll be all right. We just got to finish. We've been in a lot of close games, but you just got to good teams find a way to close those out, and we're gonna work towards that, and we're gonna figure it out for sure.
Coach, what did it mean to have Tariq and the ways you guys used him today? What did that bring to the offense?
It was good. It gives us versatility. We could use him as a decoy and as a playmaker, both. So the defense is keen him. We got to just continue to let him get his touches because he makes big plays for his offense. And I think the O-line did a great job up front just creating seams for Jordan and Tariq all day. And, yeah, it's going to be an emphasis for us moving forward. Just continue to stay in rhythm on offense, get the ball to our playmakers, make sure Tariq and Jordan are getting their touches so we could just be rolling. So we just need to continue to buy in and go back to work this week.
It's tough not to have Tariq and Jordan and those guys in the two-minute drill. You told us why. Tariq said why he probably wasn't in there. It's tough not to have that many playmakers in that situation.
We're just playing to our strengths in that situation. We need more receivers out on the field. Benny's our great protecting back, and he catches the ball well out of backfield. So it's just what we go for that situation. But we definitely have enough playmakers on the field. And we just need to make that area one of our strengths. So we'll continue to get better at that moving forward. But, yeah, you want to have as many playmakers on the field as possible.
John mentioned opening it up more for you. Do you feel like they trust you more? Do you feel like you got a chance to do more things this week maybe than you had, you know, in the past?
Yeah, I feel like they trust me. I know Coach Dowell Loggins trusts me a lot, just how far I've progressed and what Coach Fox is allowing us to do on offense. So we just got to keep getting better each week. I feel like I have. And being in the rookie season, you see more and more new situations come up each week where you just, hey, you need to work on this, you need to work on that. So it's a process. You just need to continue to get better and improve every day. And as the situations come up, just overcome those situations and continue to deal with adversity and get better from it.
When Ryan on the fumble in the first half, what went wrong on the fumble?
Oh, yeah, it was one of those freaky plays. It just had to be on me. I just didn't secure the snap. So, yeah, it was on me. Didn't secure the snap, and that is unacceptable. It can't happen, and unfortunately, I couldn't fall on it. I don't know where the ball went. It's just one of those freaky plays where the ball kind of just goes wherever, and it bounced right to them. So kind of lucky for them and unfortunate for us, but we just got to cut that out, especially when we're rolling like that on offense. We basically gave it to them, so that was my fault.
How do you balance knowing that you're a rookie and have a lot to learn, being frustrated, handling your frustrations as these losses start to come?
I think adversity is a great teacher. Overcoming struggles is a great teacher, and you just continue to keep that mindset. There's no rookie excuse. You don't get any freebies for being a rookie or anything like that. My teammates trust me and they have confidence in me, so I'm preparing as I should. I'm very prepared going into this game. My coach has got me prepared. Teammates have my back, but new situations are going to rise every time. You don't get no excuses, but you just got to take those opportunities and make the most out of them instead of looking back and getting frustrated. So just continue to look at these things as great opportunities to overcome and get better from instead of dwelling on them.
You guys had a few three and outs in the third quarter coming out of halftime. Did they change anything up? Did you notice any trend in why you guys were able to move the ball in the third?
Not really. They were pretty consistent all game. They gave a couple confusing looks for us, and they're a good defense, so we knew that going into it. But I think a couple of them, if I recall right, the ones you're talking about, that I just missed a couple throws that I usually make, which is frustrating. So we just need to continue to be better on third down. That falls on me, so I just need to continue to get better with my footwork, hit the open receivers, because we had open guys on those plays. So great play calls, great execution by all the other guys. I just got to do my part and get the ball to my playmakers. So I just need to be more consistent.
You guys really got into a rhythm kind of playing Cohen and Howard off each other a little bit, and then also getting Adam Shaheen involved too. Why did that all kind of work better this week?
Because they're good players, and if you just get your good players the ball, they're going to make plays for us. So we're just trying to be balanced within our offense, running the ball and passing the ball. So if we get the ball to our playmakers, they're going to make plays for us and go forward, not backwards. So we just need to continue to play smarter and spread the ball around and just execute. If everyone does their job, we'll be fine.
I'm sorry, within the huddle, at the beginning of the last drive,
Did you have any message in the huddle? Did you say anything other than the players talking? What was your mindset going into that last drive?
Not really much had to be said. It's just everyone do their job. We're going to go down and we're score. We're going to be fine. And I think it's more of how you come into the huddle with the command. I mean, looking your guys in the eyes and having confidence rather than what you say. You could say anything, but if you don't come in with the right body demeanor and you don't truly believe it or believe what play call, then they're not going to buy in. But I'm very fortunate. The guys we have in the huddle, everyone's staying positive. They're buying in. They believe in me, and I believe in them. So I'm very lucky to have great teammates. And we went down, and we just came up short. So great stuff to learn from, though.
Individually, are you able to build on that last drive, even though the kick didn't go through?
Yeah, absolutely. There were some good plays, and there were some bad plays from that drive. So you just got to go back and watch them, improve from them, and that's all you could do. So another opportunity to learn from it and get better for next week.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right, there's Trubisky, and I actually missed this live, but you picked up on it. We were both sitting in the room. You picked up on it and wrote about it. You heard something in there that seemed pretty telling.
Quote, I know this is Mr. Trubisky. I know Coach Dow Loggins trusts me a lot with just how far I've progressed and what Coach Fox is allowing us to do on offense. I've been on this for, I feel like, a while. You know, Fox has a more... His influence on offense is stronger than people think. Yes, Dow Loggins is calling the plays, but he's calling plays that John Fox wants called. As John Fox has said, as we have replayed numerous times now on this podcast, he doesn't coordinate the offense, doesn't coordinate the defense, doesn't coordinate special teams, but he coordinates all three. He's a factor. And I get why you're protecting him. He is a rookie, but the sense is amongst the players, and maybe even now Trubisky, is that he could do a little bit more, that he deserves a little bit more trust. And really, at this point in the season, they're 3-7. What is there to lose? Trubisky's development is everything. There's no playoffs. It's Trubisky. It's his development. That's it.
That's a pretty damning admission from Mitch Trubisky there with what he said, that Dow Loggins trusts him and what they're able to do on offense, or what John Fox is allowing them to do on offense. I mean, that's pretty much just an admission right there that Fox is holding them back. Now, it wasn't said with any malice, but it was said. Okay, so if that's the case, your season's over, you're 3-7. If you're going to make a coaching change at the end of the year, I think it's fair to ask, why not just do it now? Why not just hand this thing over to Vic Fangio? If Fox is standing in the way, the most important thing right now has to be the development of Mitch Trubisky. And I just said it before we played Trubisky's comments. He's now had 4 out of 6 games, ball in his hand at the end. And I don't think that he's necessarily done anything horrible. Maybe that interception against the Vikings was not great, but he was backed up at his own end zone. He's done a lot of good things, too. He made that play against the Ravens, too. Wait, does that count as an extra drive? As one of these late game situations, I know that was an overtime. But so that really points to 5 out of 6 games where he's had clutch. So, and then there was, and if you count that, then that was a great situation where he set up a victory. I guess my point here then is you have to learn how to win. And if there's really this thinking that Fox is holding back the offense, then you got to let him go. I mean, you got to let Dow Loggins give Trubisky free rein here. And I said this to you earlier before we started the podcast. I go back to the first preseason game when Trubisky looked amazing. And we all said it at the time. All right, it's the first preseason game. He's going up against third stringers. There's no game planning involved. There's no scheming. I get all that. And that all is true. But there was also no holding him back. They just let him play. Now, that's not real regular season NFL football. I get it. But in that game, and he was dealing with third-string offensive players too. But in that game, he just went out there and played. And you saw the results. There was no, oh, make sure you're checking it down. Don't take chances. Don't turn the ball over. It was just go play. Let's see what you can do.
See, I get the play it safe stuff to a point. When they're thinking that 5-5 is a realistic thing. Yes, you don't want your quarterback, rookie quarterback, throwing the ball over the place, turning the ball over, all that stuff, all that bad stuff. But now, really, what's the point? I get it's part of his growth and ball security, but I think he's got the message. That's in his head already. He's playing it safe just fine. You need to take – you got to loosen the reins on him a bit. Let him be himself, and I think you see what can happen, you know? Let him get some confidence. Let him use his legs. He offers so much as a player, and I get that he is a rookie. There's going to be rough moments, but he needs him. He needs him for his experience. He needs him for 2018, which is becoming a lot more important than 2017 right now.
What do you think Ryan Pace is thinking as he's watching all this?
What do I think he's thinking? Well, one, I think he was scared when whoever that was, number 78, dove right into the back of Mr. Trubisky's legs not too long after losing, you know, Leonard Floyd, which I know we'll talk about in a minute. So I know he likes Fox. I know Fox likes him, but I think circumstances are starting to change. They're 3-7. They're going to be another losing team. It's the third losing season under Fox. They've lost to some pretty bad quarterbacks on this field. Matthew Stafford was exceptional today. You know, they play Matthew Stafford well, but they struggle against Brett Hundley. You know, it just doesn't make sense. They lost to Brock Osweiler at Soldier Field. They lost to Case Keenum at Soldier Field. They've lost to Blake Bortles at Soldier Field in the John Fox era. Blaine Gabbert. Remember that run he had? Jesus Christ. The frustrations should be in Ryan Pace's head, and he should be looking for answers, and he needs to literally look at his coaching staff, look at his head coach, and figure out if he's the right guy, not only for Trubisky, but for the future of this team. There's not enough wins to really back up him being the long-term answer right now.
And maybe most damning, 3-13 now against the NFC North, with one win against the Lions, 1-4, one win against the Vikings, 1-4, and one win against the Green Bay Packers, 1-5. Two games remaining this season, one against the Lions and Vikings, at least in the division, and he's 3-13. That's a full season, by the way. That's 16 games, 3-13, which is what he went last year in 2016, is it, on the year. So it's just not good, and that's a problem. All right, let's hear from the head coach, whether you want to or not. here's what he had to say about this game today at Soldier Field.
Injuries from the game, both Josh Bellamy was in the concussion protocol, and Leonard Floyd left with what looks like a fairly serious knee injury. Open it up for questions.
Fearing that that's a season ender for Leonard?
You know, again, I hate to, you know, just speculate, but, you know, usually when they take a guy off in a cart, it's not great, so... we'll evaluate it. I'll talk to our docs more today, tonight. You know, we'll continue to evaluate it tomorrow, but we'll keep you posted.
What was the explanation you got on the fumbled snap?
It was just a fumbled snap. Again, really not much of an explanation. I think it was ball didn't come up clean. It wasn't handled correctly, and it was a big play in the game.
Overall, how would you evaluate Mitch's play?
You know, I thought our whole team played well. You know, I think, you know, our issues have been you guys prepared hard all week. They put a lot into it. You know, we showed spurts and moments like we have for some time now. But we just can't seem to – we have lulls. We have siestas. You know, we just don't do it for 60 minutes. And I think, you know, we're not over good. Nobody, I don't think, is good enough to overcome that. And so we just have to be more consistent. You know, people talk about consistency during a season. You know, people have ups and downs. Well, we're at a stage as a football team, we have those moments in games. And then we have to do a better job of coaching it. We have to do a better job of executing it in games. You know, so I thought, you know, our guys competed. I mean, it was a close game. We have a lot of them. You know, we make a kick at the end, it might be different, but that's not the way it worked out.
John, what's your level of success moving the football throughout the game?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a combination of Howard, getting Cohen out there more, and
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah.
But none of them were on the field for that final drive. Why is that?
You know, I think there's a lot of situations that you know, a lot of people, including y'all, don't get is that they're, you know, 2 minute. Not everybody on the team knows all of that. You know, we have Adam Shaheen, we have Mitchell Trubisky, we have Tariq Cohen that are, you know, playing in their eighth games of their NFL career as rookies. So they have a lot on their plate as it is. They can't do everything. They're definitely good young players for sure. We utilize them a lot, all three of them.
John, what's your level of faith in Connor at this point?
You know, again, it's like everything. We're in a production-based business, and, you know, that's what we get paid to do, whether it's win games as a head coach or whether it's make kicks as a kicker. You know, we'll evaluate it, and like I said, every time we go out there, we'll do everything we can to put the best team we can out there.
This long stretch of close games that you guys have played, why hasn't this team been able to finish more consistently?
Well, I think it's back to what I told you. We have lulls. We're not consistently on top of it. You know, today, the third quarter felt like it was a lull. Second quarter for the defense, they had a couple scoring drives. You know, again, all these people, you know, they practice and get paid too, and that's a good football team. We just have to be able to put 60 minutes together.
How would you assess Mitch's development compared to his first start in Minnesota at this point?
Yeah, I think he's made progress. You know, again, every week. I don't know what his QBR was this week or if you put stock in that. But, you know, I thought he got better today. We've opened it up. When you really think about, you know, it's, you know, under 10 games as a starter in the National Football League is pretty impressive. You think about it, it's not even 20 games or just over 20 games, I think, since high school. He's done a great job. He'll continue to get better, and I've been very impressed with him.
What does it tell you? He gets the fourth down scramble to keep the drive.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that, what does that tell you about him in those moments?
Well, he's a playmaker. I think he's got good command in the huddle. I go back to the New Orleans game. I mean, he had probably our longest rush of the day, even in that situation. He's a playmaker. Now, he'll still make some mistakes, rightfully, understandably so. But I think, you know, he took less. He's just getting better, you know, and he'll continue to get better. I don't have any doubt about that.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kane.
Here's what gets me about Fox's comments. If Trubisky's been that impressive, he used the word impressive, I think, twice in his press conference there towards the end. Let the kid play. Let him do everything that you drafted him for, especially at this point. I'm going to keep driving this point home, I think, for the rest of the season. So it's going to be a long year for us here on the podcast. Let the kid play. Take the training wheels off. Let him play.
Well, and look, I was saying this on our podcast on Thursday, that you don't win this game, you fall to 3-7, you got a road game in Philadelphia next week, which looks like it's the hardest game I left on the schedule, the Vikings look great too, you still got to go to Minnesota, but, you know, you're staring 3-8 easily, right? And you got a bunch of winnable games after that, or at least manageable games you can have success. Right, and I don't want to harp on this too much, but like there is Kyle Long said it this past week. He's never won. This is year five. Kyle Long's been on the team for 5 years now, and so that means that pretty much no one on this team has won games. Jerick McManus was here in 2012. They went 10-6. He's the only player on the roster who has been through a winning season. At least with the Bears. That's a problem. And you can't be developing this quarterback in this losing culture. So I'm telling you, I don't know. Ryan Pace has a better handle on how much John Fox is holding Trubisky back right now than we do. But you've been talking about this for weeks, how much Fox has been involved in the game plans. If it's that big of a problem, I guess what I'm starting to say is I'm coming around the idea of just doing it now. If you're going to do it, because that has to be the season's over. You're 3-7. That has to be the number one priority. So I don't know. Maybe not this week with the Eagles looming, but after that, when you got the 49ers coming in town, you can have some success. You got to build this, and that could be Trubisky versus Garoppolo.
Now the Bears, to be fair, did open it up. I guess a little bit early on in the early going, you know, with Cohen all over the place. Trubisky's throwing the ball more. I think Kyle Long actually had a very telling quote from the locker room where he said it was great not to have to run block against a field goal block unit. Trubisky opened up the field. He really did.
Well, Cohen did too.
Yeah.
And I'm look, it's great they did all that. I'm struggling to give him too much credit, though, because it was all common sense stuff we could see. It wasn't rocket science. It was your best players should be on the field. That's a no-brainer.
And their best players are rookies. It is maddening. It really is. You know, I had a tweet today where, you know, there was four Pace draft picks that produced, I think it was in the first half, Kukowski had the strip sack, Howard with the long run, Sheen with the touchdown catch, and obviously Trubisky with the touchdown throw. And that's what you want to see. You want to see your young players take command of this team and be the focal points of it. And you're seeing that despite a reluctance, you know, from the head man to allow it to happen. And again, I get why this was slow played, but there is no reason to slow play it anymore. None. None whatsoever.
Now, the rest of the season needs to be about the rookies, the young players. They have to develop. And if he doesn't trust them, then you just have to. You just have to let them play at this point. I don't know what you're coaching for then. All right. Then there's a Connor Barth issue. The reason I didn't really lead with that, and a lot of people are going to talk about how that's the story, that Connor Barth blew this game. We've known all year that he's not that great of a kicker. Did you trust him to make a 46-yarder there? I didn't. That's what I'm talking about with this personnel on the final drive. Too many people are just passing it off like, well, he got him in the field goal range and Barth missed a kick. I didn't feel like a 46-yarder was going to go in. And they should have been playing for a touchdown or at least a chip shot there. He has been a problem all year. They knew that in training camp. That's why they spent $500,000 on Roberto freaking Aguayo in training camp. This isn't some mystery. So the fact he's still on the team right now is maybe the most surprising thing.
Here's part of the problem. If you're going to play games close and try to do whatever John Fox does to keep it close like that, you need a reliable kicker. Every point is invaluable if you're not going to open things up, if you're going to play things conservatively. Did I say that right? You need a kicker who doesn't have five misses on a season. You need a kicker who is reliable in the 40-yard range because you're going to have struggles getting into the red zone because of inexperience, lack of talent, whatever. Connor Barth is not that. Not that whatsoever.
The Bears reportedly worked out Cairo Santos last week. I'm assuming if he's healthy, they might make that move, assuming that Santos wants to come kick for the Bears. He got hurt earlier this year, but is supposedly healthy now. So we'll see if that move is made. I imagine this might have been the last time we saw Connor Barth. We'll see. With that being the case, let's hear what Connor Barth had to say after the game as well.
What were the conditions like when you stepped out on the field to kick that, try that 46-yard field goal?
I was blown a little bit, but, you know, we kicked in warm-ups and I had a good warm-up. Had a good first half and stuff, just didn't put it through.
And what happened on the kick?
I think I hit the ground a little bit and just didn't make good contact. So, yeah, it was just a little tough one.
Did you think it had a chance once it left your foot?
No, did not. No, I think I hit the ground a little bit and just kind of left it right. So,
how disappointing is it for you?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to miss. So, just got to, you know, I've always been a positive guy, though. So, this one kick's not going to define me. You know, I've had a good career, so just got to keep working.
Was everything clean?
Oh, yeah, they did a great job. Depot and Pat did a great job, and the O-line blocked great. I just, like I said, I think I got to watch the film. I think I hit the ground a little bit and just pushed it.
Connor, do you bother addressing or saying anything to your team after a kick like that?
I mean, you know, it's a team game. Everyone makes mistakes. I mean, of course I want that one back, but at the end of the day, it happened. You know, you move on, and I'll take it. Yeah, whatever, it's on me.
Considering the situation where you're maybe a little nervous as you got ready to make the kick?
You just swing. And like I said, I think I got to watch the film. I just didn't hit it that clean. So you could just tell it didn't come off very well.
But Connor, is it just the life of a kicker? Expectation if you do it and the opposite if you don't?
Yeah, man, it's just the way it is. You know, I signed up for this. So you're going to make some or you miss some, and that's the way it goes.
Connor, after getting everything kind of straightened out last week, how did things feel otherwise today? And the bug
move that got you 2 weeks ago? I've never had a doubt that I was I always go into a kick 100% positive on to make it. Like I said, you know, you miss some, you make some, you miss some, and no, it wasn't the case today, and you just got to move on.
Thanks. It's been a tough go for Connor Barth, and hey, Robbie Gould comes back in a couple weeks with the San Francisco 49ers. He missed a couple field goals 2 years ago and apparently lost the trust of John Fox, which is why Connor Barth was brought here. It just hasn't worked out that well.
I think he has two misses this year. Maybe that spurred on good old Robbie, but Yeah, it's – look, doesn't make much sense to keep him around anymore. I get that people on the street are on the street for a reason right now. I get that it could be pretty slim pickings. But it's disheartening for your team when you march him out there right now. You cannot have that. It's time to hold your kicker accountable. I get he's just a kicker, but you got to hold him to a higher standard. It's time for him to go.
Plus, Connor Barth was one of the John Fox moves. Like, if you're filing them in a column, you know, Ryan Pace kind of trusted him on that one, that, okay, I want this different kicker. It's not like Pace was married to Robbie Gould either, but he allowed, you know, Fox to kind of go down that road, and it hasn't worked out. So I don't know if there's still any stubbornness there with Fox and his guy, but I don't know. I imagine after this point, Fox, the way Fox, you heard it, the way Fox talked about Barth after the game, kind of sounded like how he talked about, what was that quarterback's name that started the first four games for the Chicago Bears? Oh, Mike Glennon. They talked about Mike Glennon in Green Bay after that game. You kind of knew the change was coming. So we'll see if that happens this week. And then we got to find out how serious Leonard Floyd's knee injury is, because that's very significant. And, oh, man, another first-round pick goes down. Talk about developing these young guys. Leonard Floyd's, you know, not been dominant this year, but had a pretty good season, and that would be a huge loss if it is indeed a season ender. I guess there's a chance it's not, but it certainly did not look that good.
No. Just Kyle Fuller got injured on the same play. Now he returned, and Kyle Fuller, well, he's the one who kind of rolled into Floyd. Just bad, a bad unfortunate play, which seems to happen to bad teams, though, right? Like, plays like this just seem to come about when your team is just like this, bad. So just another bad. And he was playing relatively okay. Wasn't making all the sacks they wanted. Didn't have the high sack totals, but he's been a factor. He was after Stafford a lot today at Soldier Field. Very, very bad luck for a long-term piece for the Bears.
And on that note, we'll wrap up another sad post-game episode from Soldier Field. Ugh, man. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read our post-game reaction, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Still time to chime in on the voicemails, 312-222-5050. Our schedule for this week will be a little bit different. We did this last year, Thanksgiving week as well. We will record on Tuesday. That way you guys will have the post-game episode for wherever you're traveling to this week, if you are traveling for Thanksgiving. Get that to you out early. So it'll be an early preview episode as we preview the Bears and Eagles in Philadelphia, which right now doesn't look all that promising. In the meantime, please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already on iTunes, TuneIn app, or the WGN Radio app. It's pretty much wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and we appreciate you doing so. Bears lose again, now 3-7 on the year. Unfortunately, this looks like another season headed in the completely wrong direction. And heck, what do we know? They'll probably beat the Eagles next week out of nowhere. We'll see. We'll talk to you Tuesday. Until then, hopefully you'll enjoy your Thanksgiving week. Bye, everybody.